My name's John, and I'm a sinner, but I don't wrestle with this on my own. God is working on it with me and his family, our family. The worse your story, the warmer your welcome. And what has been my mess can actually become my message, and we're discovering how to do that. And we move now to look at step 10 of the 12 steps, and this is a daily step. Now we're moving into how do we actually navigate our life from one day to the next? And step 10 was continue to take personal inventory. You might remember fearless and searching moral inventory. We learned how to do that in step 4 in a real comprehensive way, but we're not done with it because sin is not done with us. Oh no, there's still that mess inside me. So I need daily help with this. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And every word there is painful. Not if we're wrong, when we're wrong, because it's inevitable. It's going to happen all the time. And wrongness occurs on many, many different levels. And then we admit it. We don't hide it. We don't cover it up. We don't get defensive about it. Not just do we admit it, we promptly admit it. How quick is prompt? Well, it's as quick as you can do it. And this means I do this today, and then I'll take inventory tomorrow, and then I'll take inventory the next day. As you may know, in the 12-step community, they have sayings and stories to make everything sticky. There's an old one about a little kid, 6 years old, and he's just learned how to tie his shoes, and his mom finds him sobbing, kneeling on the ground. And she says, "Why are you crying? This is great. You're growing up. You can tie your shoes." And he says, "Yes, but now I'll have to do it every day for the rest of my life." And that's the way it is now with taking inventory. Every day for the rest of our lives, only this is a very good thing. And the big book puts it like this. We are not cured. And I love this, how much in the church we need to understand this in the way that people who know they have a death-inducing addiction understand it. What we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. I'm not a spiritual giant. I'm not a pillar of the church. I'm not a religious titan. What I have is a daily reprieve. They will sometimes say in AA, because of this idea, one day at a time. There's a big step 10 idea, one day at a time. They'll sometimes ask, who has the most sobriety? Somebody who has not had a drink in 30 years or somebody who has not had a drink in a week? And the answer is, whoever woke up earliest today, one day at a time. We are not cured. What we have is a daily reprieve. Oh God, oh God, oh God, help me today. This is the manna principle. God will give me what I need, daily bread for today, for my life. Every day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all our activities. God, your will, not mine, be done. We can pray that all that we want to, the big book says. That is the proper use of the will, to surrender your will. So, some practical thoughts about how to do step 10 as we begin to launch into this, and you can do this today. I invite you to do this. This is from a little book called 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. As we work the first 9 steps, we prepare ourselves for the adventure of a new life. But when we approach step 10, we commence to put our 12-step way of living to practical use day by day, fair weather or foul. Then comes the acid test. Can we stay sober, keep an emotional balance, and live to good purpose under all conditions? A continuous look at our assets and liabilities and a real desire to learn and grow are necessary. More experienced people, of course, in all times and places, have practiced unsparing self-survey and criticism. For the wise have always known that no one can make much of their life until self-searching becomes a regular habit, until they are able to admit and accept what they find, and until they patiently and persistently try to correct what is wrong. There's a fascinating approach to understanding ancient Greek philosophy by a writer, a thinker named Pierre Hadot. He wrote several books on it, and he says, We sometimes will think about ancient Greek philosophy as real speculative and quite abstract, but actually it was very intensely practical. It was trying to help people to find the wise way to live. And so it talked quite a lot about spiritual exercises and self-reflection. Looking at myself as honestly and clearly as I can know thyself was the oracle at Delphi, was central. And then, of course, that became central to followers of Jesus. And it comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 139, search me, God, and know my heart. And it's very, very simple. Now, it can be complicated in the circumstances of our lives. I saw an interview with an old lady, well in her 80s one time, and she was a survivor of the Titanic. She had been a little girl, I think 8 or 9 years old, when she was a passenger and it went down. She was saved with her mom, but her dad, of course, went down with the ship. And she talked about remember seeing him for the very last time and hear his final words to her, be a good girl. I love you. And how many times have those of us who are children heard our parents say that, or those who are parents say that to your children? It's very simple. You don't need a whole lot. You don't need to know a whole lot. Be good. And we mostly know what goodness consists of: being honest, being generous, being truthful, being caring, not envying, seeking to serve others, seeking to encourage others. Like, you actually know pretty much enough to keep you busy all day. Be good, and then know that you are loved. And when we take inventory, of course, we're not just taking inventory of our liabilities, we're also taking inventory of our assets. And your number one asset is you are made by God and you are loved. Now, there's a variety of different ways to do inventories. And in this book, sometimes called the 12 and 12, it distinguishes a few different types based on how much time they take. There's this spot check inventory, taken at any time in the day. Come back to that one in a minute. Spot check. Wherever we find ourselves getting tangled up. And then secondly, there's the one that we take at the end of the day. So the idea is, that you pause once a day and look back over the day. Honestly, I always wrestle with this one. Periodically, I try to do it at night. I'm worthless at night. I'm exhausted. I start falling asleep by about 6:30 and I wake up super early. So I more often do it in the morning. But I'm shooting someday. Maybe I'll be able to do it at the end of the day. It doesn't really matter so much when you do it. But you look over the day. I have a good friend, Dean, who's a coach. He loves coaching. And his devotion to watching game films, just video of the film, is off the charts. I'd call him up almost any time, 1 o'clock in the morning, and he's watching game film. Why? Well, he wants to win, but more than that, he wants for the team to give the best that they can. And he's so committed to that that he'll just study the film to find out, what do I need to learn? What do we need to do differently? How do we need to get prepared? So that review of the day is kind of doing that. Where were my motives messed up here? Where did I lie? Where did I try to deceive somebody? Where was I promoting myself instead of really caring about somebody else? Where was I with somebody now? I don't even remember what they said because I wasn't paying any attention, huh? Okay, that's the daily review. And then third, those occasions when we make a careful review of our progress since the last time. Many of us go for annual or semi-annual house cleanings. When I grew up in the Midwest with my mom, there was a thing called spring cleaning. And spring cleaning was a pretty thorough job. When I came up to California, I was living in a house with two other guys. I don't know who their moms were, but they never learned about spring cleaning. And so I taught them. I don't do it so much anymore, but there was a time. So that's the idea. Now, what I want to talk about for the rest of these couple of moments is that spot check. How do we do the daily spot check? Going on in the book, it's a spiritual axiom that every time we are disturbed, no matter what the cause, there is something wrong with us. If somebody hurts us and we are sore, I need to look at myself also. Isn't there such a thing as justifiable anger? If somebody mistreats me, am I not entitled to be mad? Well, here's the sentence. We have found that justified anger ought to be left to those better qualified to handle it. And anger is what we experience when our wills get frustrated, and its purpose is to notify us and to energize us to deal with that. And there's not a problem with that. But as soon as it transforms into toxic resentment and self-righteousness and judgmentalism, and anger does this really fast. Ticks me off to think about it. Then I'm moving into spiritual trouble. Also, if I find, for example, that I'm afraid or I'm confused and I don't know what to do, or I feel threatened, or I feel tempted, or I feel bored, that's a real good time to just pause and do a little spot check. Search me, God, and know my heart. And open myself up as much as I possibly can. In Paul's letter to the church at Galatia, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, kindness, peace, patience, and so on. And then says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Now, that's a way of talking about this 10th step. I'm keeping in step with the Spirit. The Spirit of God is with me. God will speak to me. God will guide me. Do you ever have moments when something inside tells you that you're about to do the wrong thing, or that you just did the wrong thing, or that's prompting you or nudging you or whispering to you? You know, that's often the still small voice. Jordan Peterson talks about that in his book, We Who Wrestle With God, that part of Elijah's gift to humanity was the recognition that that still small voice means it's possible, as I attend to conscience, to enter into a personal relationship with God. And so I do that particularly when I need self-restraint, or I need to honestly analyze what was going on. I need the willingness to admit when the fault was mine. I need the willingness to forgive when the fault is someplace else. We do not get discouraged when we fall into the error of our old ways, because this journey is not easy. We look for progress, not perfection. That's step 10. Progress, not perfection. And then I remember, it's not just be good, but also you are loved. And those words were spoken to you by someone who sacrificed his life out of love for you. That's the 10th step journey that we're on in these videos. Continue to take personal inventory. Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
Hey, you just finished a video from our series Steps, which is based on John's new book, recently released, also called Steps. So you could pick that book up anywhere that you like to purchase your books, or find out more information about it at becomenew.com. If you're someone that would like to start practicing, working, doing the steps with a friend or a small group or your church, we've created a web portal for you that should get you all the resources you need to get started. You can just go to dothesteps.com. We are a community that's dedicated to growing spiritually in Christ one day at a time. And a big part of that is prayer. So there's a team of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for Become New and for viewers just like yourself. So if you have a prayer request, you can send it to us at 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you next time.